So we're going to pray for Nathan, and then I think there's a bit of music before you start speaking. Is that right, Nathan? Lord, we pray that you will speak through your Holy Spirit through Nathan now. Bless him, and may we hear what you want us to hear. Amen.
Hello. My name is Nathan Galpin, and I indeed would like to share with you the most amazing book. But it's not the Book of Mormon, as I'm sure you're relieved to hear. It is our book, the Book of Christianity. And the reason I started with that song is because don't they sound happy? Don't they sound enthusiastic? Don't they sound like all they want to do is share their faith? And though I am not advocating Mormonism here this morning, I am pointing out that the Mormon Church does mission very well. Currently, around the world, there are 70,000 full-time Mormon missionaries. They complete missions in pairs lasting between 18 months and 2 years, working from about 6:30 in the morning till 10:30 in the evening. It's especially big in America and is one of their main features. And if people say Mormonism, a lot of them think of those ringing on the doorbells. Hello, my name is Elder Price. And I think it's an area where, although we as St. James have a great mission support network, in terms of general mission, it's an area where I still feel we're lacking. And I'd like to segue quite smoothly, I think, and I hope he won't be offended by this, but into my father, who is very passionate about sharing the gospel, I think you'd all agree. When we were at New Wine, he went to a sermon series on how to share the gospel, basically on the streets. And when he came back to the tent one day, he was really excited. He was like, Nathan, I've got this really cool thing to show you. And he took me through this new way of sharing the gospel with people. And the way he does it and all of the stuff he does, I think you'll agree, he's just so passionate about sharing the good news. And a lot of you here this morning will really respect that and really respect the work that is done in the precinct and through all these different organizations. But you'll say that it's not particularly for you, that you're not comfortable sharing your faith, you're not comfortable talking to strangers, and that you can support it in other ways and you have different gifts, and that means you don't need to do mission. And I'm going to start potentially foolishly by upsetting those people, because we're all called to do mission. Mission takes many forms, but we are all called to do it. We are given this great commission by Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 to 19, where he says, go and make disciples. And this verse is one that really sticks with me. And at the beginning of this week, I read it, probably how a lot of you read it now, which is go from this place, go forth, go over there, go over there, go over there, and make disciples. Increase the number of Christians. Jesus calling us to go out into the world and increase the number of Christians. But this week, I dipped my toe into the pool of Greek and had a look at what that verse sort of really meant after a bit of a challenge from that from my father. And it turns out that in the Greek, that word go is not actually used as an imperative. It's not used as that instruction. The instruction in the Greek is the word for disciple, the word for teach. And go is, in fact, a participle. It's a doing word. So instead of going from this place and increasing the number of Christians, what Jesus is calling us to do is, as we are going through life, in our general lives, whatever that may be, we are to teach others and disciple them so that they may learn about Jesus. The verse is not necessarily about mission overseas. Although mission overseas, going into another culture and teaching about God, is a brilliant thing, that verse is not limited to that. That verse is calling us all, whatever we do in our lives, to act as Jesus's followers. Now, as my dad already mentioned, I went through the sort of database of St. James sermons and had a look at what there was. And I'm going to take you through some of the ones that I picked out. So I apologize if you've done a sermon on this and I didn't listen to it. But these are the ones I picked out. So starting back in October 2016, Nick did a sermon about salt. And he very much picked up on what we've already heard this morning about not being afraid to talk about your faith, about how life presents opportunities in which you can speak about your faith and we should not be afraid and seize those opportunities. Fast forward a year to June 2017, Nick did his last sermon for us. He talked about pray, send, and go. pray, send, and go. All of the three, not one of the three. And he reminded us that even though we believe ourselves to be flawed, especially when we're scared in terms of mission, that God knows that. He knows the innermost things about us. He knows how terrified that makes us feel. And yet he still loves us and he still calls us to do it. He calls everyone to do mission. And then in September 2017, we had our season of invitation that my dad talked about. And he talked about a lot of things in that sermon, but what really stuck with me was that he said that it was our responsibility to share our faith. No one else's, our responsibility. And I'm not quite sure if he planned to take it this far, but I'm going to this morning. Because if we truly believe that our faith is the one true faith, if we truly believe that Jesus is the Lord, our Savior, the Son of God, and if we truly believe that a life with Jesus is worth infinitely more than a life without him, then we've got to face reality that our inaction is not only against God, but it is toxic and damaging to the people around us. If we believe that a life without the good news is no life, then we are allowing people to live in that life. And that is toxic for them. We need to share our faith. And like that verse said, we need to be a light as a city on a hill. We cannot hide it. Because in hiding our faith, we are damaging those around us. We are damaging those around us. And then last month, my brother talked about success. He talked about purpose. And before he started that sermon, he reminded us that success in the kingdom of heaven is measured through obedience, not through results. And in our society today, we like to assign numbers to things. We like to weigh up, value things. And we like to say that because this man earns this much money and this man earns this much money, because this man earns more, he is more successful. We like to say that this man has a better car, so he's more successful. He has a better house, so he's more successful. And then we apply that mindset to mission. And we say, because this man converted 30 people to the church and this man didn't convert anyone to the church, then this man is successful in mission and this man shouldn't bother. But that is not what the kingdom of heaven is about, because the kingdom of heaven is illogical to us. Both of these men and women, whoever they may be, are as successful because they both showed obedience in following the instruction to mission, to disciple. What is important when it comes to sharing the good news is that we share the good news, not that the good news is then accepted. So our verse this morning, or one of them, is from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. And this morning I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to read it in the King James Version. And the reason I'm doing that is it's a verse we've all heard a lot of times. It's a verse that we know. It's a verse that I'm sure a lot of you, when you heard the first few words, knew what the last few words were. And there's a danger, and I'm definitely guilty of this, of when we know a verse, it loses meaning, and we shut ourselves off to it. So I'm going to read it in the King James because it's a bit different, and you sort of have to think when you listen to it. So here we go. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. God loves us. God knows that we are not perfect. But God calls us to be salt. He causes us as Christians to go into situations and act as salt. What this verse is telling us is that if we are not acting as salt, why are we Christians? Yes, God loves us. Yes, you can't do anything at all to ruin your chances of getting into heaven or to displease God in the sense that he won't keep loving you, but that doesn't give us the excuse to ignore passages like this. If we are not salty, if we are not sharing our faith, if we are not being Christians in our workplace, in our homes, what is the point? Why are we Christians if we're not acting as Christians in our lives. If we are hiding our faith, what is the point in having it? Now, this morning, my sermon has two parts, and I imagine a lot of you are probably wanting the second one right now, which is how. I'm sure a lot of you agree with me that, yes, sharing your faith is important, and you know that, yes, you should be sharing your faith, but you struggle. And everyone struggles with sharing their faith because it is a difficult thing to do. And there is no singular one-solution-fits-all way of sharing your faith. Different ideas come and go, and they're all good for different people. And in the end, you need to find one that works for you. But I've got two things to say on it. One, something that's come up already this morning, is this idea of surrender. Mission and sharing your faith is about, number one, surrendering to God. No one will come to faith because you're really great at sharing yours. People will come to faith because of God. He uses you, but it is not you who does it. And the second thing is just an idea that I've used and is quite simple that might be useful for some of you here this morning. And it's just four words. It's four very simple words. And it's these. I am a Christian. I am a Christian. If you want to share your faith, you need to start by telling people you have one. And although this isn't necessarily going to lead to instant reactions or a theological debate, what it does is it sets that foundation. It sows that seed. I am a Christian. It forces you to not be hiding your faith, whether you're doing that consciously or subconsciously. Saying, I am a Christian, stops you doing it. Now we're going to have some music. And I'd really encourage you to engage with what we're going to be doing this morning. Because it's not difficult, but I really want you all to do it. So as the music starts playing, I'd like you all to close your eyes. And in this time, we're just going to have a moment of reflection. And I'd like you to think about two things. The first is I'd like you to think about how you became a Christian. Because I'm going to wager that someone told you about it. And the second is I'd like you to think of someone or people that you know who aren't currently Christians. Now, there's going to be a lot of people. God willing, one day there won't be any. But currently, there's going to be a lot of people. And I just want you to think about those people. Think about where you see them, your interactions with them, and stuff like that. So, how you became a Christian, and who you know that isn't a Christian. Now, I'm sure you've all been wondering why I made sure you all had pens, paper, phones, etc. Now would be your opportunity to say if you do not have something with which you can write something else down. If you don't have paper, the back of the serve sheet is fine. There's like a whole blank space. But it's fine to note it down on your phone or just write it down. I think we still have a couple of pens. But is everyone good with that? Wonderful. Okay. So, what I'd like you to do is I would like you to write down the name of one of those people you thought of who is not a Christian. That may be the first one that came into your head, that may be the one you spent the most time thinking about. But I'd like you to write that name down. And I want you to physically write it down. Not just one of those things where you think about it, but no, I actually want written down on the piece of paper. Now, that person, hopefully you know who they are, and I don't mind if you do this in person, if you do this over the phone, if you text them, if you write them a letter, anything. But I would like you to say those four words to that person this week. I am a Christian. Those four words to that person. And this person may already know you're a Christian. That doesn't give you an excuse. This is a chance to reaffirm that fact, to give them that opportunity to ask any question that they have. But if that conversation with that person simply goes, I'm a Christian, they go, great. That's fine. because it sows that seed and it stops you subconsciously potentially hiding your faith. That's part one. Part two is this. Next week, when you come to church, first person you clock eyes with in this congregation, I want you to go up to them and ask them how it went. Because the great thing about challenges is that they challenge us. And the important thing about challenges is we have a way to hold ourselves accountable. And I want you all as a congregation, as a family, to hold each other accountable for this challenge. And this time next week, we're going to have told this many people about Jesus. And no, that won't mean the church will double in size next week, but it does mean that many people know about God. And not all of them won't have already known about God, but some of them won't have known about God, and that'll be brilliant. So this week, as you are going through your daily life, disciple.